Yeah, big time. Number nine. Diamonds in my teeth. I got a lot of shine. Oh, yes, everybody. This is the DFS Army Fantasy Football Show. Joining me here today is Trone from Jock Market and our very own Brandon Adam. Trone, how are you doing here tonight?
We are doing great. Glad to be here.
Oh, that was it. Okay. I was ready for a mini story. Brandon, how are you?
I am also doing good. It's been quite the adventure getting going live here, so I'm anxious to get going and making this pod happen right now. So I'm excited.
No time for stories here. Let's get to it.
Yeah, Trone had some technical difficulties, but
we did.
Fellas, or everybody, today is the last day for the NFL Early Bird Special, which gives you 25% off of our VIP membership at DFS Army, promo code NFL2023. DFS Army, we've had some big wins last year, recently, even with PGA. You don't just have to play NFL. But Trone, you're from Jock Market, an affiliate through us here at DFS Army. Can you tell us a little bit more about Jock Market? And that's market with MKT.
Yep. Yeah. So kind of like a play on a stock ticker, and we'll get into why. So we have kind of two core games. One is very similar to a Prize Picks, just like your standard pick'em style game, parlay game. And, we're not reinventing the wheel with what that is. If you played it on Prize Picks and you go play it on Jock Market, it's very much the same. The unique game that we have that really nobody else has is we basically took all the DFS elements of DraftKings, got rid of the lineup, and added in Robinhood. So you basically have a stock market that exists in within the confines of like a DFS timeline, right? So your lineup setting stage now converts into what turns on Jock Market. That's more or less like a 2 or 3 hour IPO where you go in and bid on shares of players. So basically, the way player valuations are essentially work is it's on a $25 down to $1 scale. So in any given slate, the player who scores the most fantasy points is worth 25, however many shares you're holding. At the end of the market, that player will pay out $25 a share. And it works its way down to where at some point every player is worth a dollar. They never go lower than that, which is kind of nice because, your worst case scenario, say you put in $100, 10 shares of a player, $10 a share, they score 0 points. Well, you still end up with $10. So on your worst day, you won't zero out like you will elsewhere. Where it gets really interesting, and the last thing I'll say in the IPO is it's totally unstructured. So you can put like whatever your bankroll is, you can put all of it on one player if you want to. You can buy a share of every single player on the slate. So there's no requirements like the Millie Maker, for example, where you'd have to put in, a quarterback and a couple running backs, a couple receivers, flex, all that. There's none of that. So it really kind of gives you a lot more freedom. And obviously I may be biased here, but I think once you play it, you realize it's the easiest positive ROI, I think, in DFS. Part of that is because you're not forced into making a salary cap work, but also once the game starts, nothing is locked. So that's when live trading begins, right? So like, let's say you got outbid in an IPO for Ja'Marr Chase, first couple of drives, maybe in the first quarter, first half, he hasn't really done much. Well, his cost is probably going to be depressed. So go and buy shares and, it's your classic buy low, sell high kind of game, but you can do it throughout the entire game. And so it's a really, we're not the only, fantasy sports or sports stock market. Like there's Mojo, there's other sites also. But we are the only one that's doing it like truly in DFS capacity. So you can come in, like if you've never played, if you've never done, so anything like that, but pick 'em, props, come in, start playing props and, take whatever you win there, you can roll that over into a market. And it's really like, if you're trying to, take down a Millie Maker slate, like this is a different game. But if you're trying to, if your game is something that where you can, kind of steadily increase like 20, 30, 50, 100% at a time, like this is a really good place to do that. And I think you have so much more control because you can just effectively control how much you're tilting at any point in time, because you can get in and out. You can short players. So like, you know, all this Scandling catches a 50-yard touchdown in the first quarter, go short him because he's probably not going to do anything else the rest of the game.
Right.
Yeah. What I dug in a little bit to Jock Market, and I was just letting it think a little. I was like, dang, how would I love to just get in, buy, sell, trade it inside here? And like you said, you're not locked into it, so you could short players, get out of there if you had to, and that just I think kind of like steams up a lot of stuff. But there is a time where it does lock, right? Eventually your players are your players.
Yeah, I mean once the games end, like okay. if you're doing, say, like
the whole way through.
Yeah, the whole way through. So like however many games are on the slate when the last game, like for an MLB market tonight, for example, when those 10 p.m. games end, that's when the market will end, a few minutes after. Like once everything like within the system like closes from like a scoring standpoint, right. And we get the final numbers on everything, that's when it closes. But I mean, if you're trying to trade it like, you know, with zeros in the fourth quarter or in like the bottom of the ninth inning after the last alley, you're not like, you know, the prices are set at that point. Right?
I'm looking for ways I can trash man around in Chalk Market, Tron. That's what I love to do. But Tron, yeah, welcome to the pod. This is the first of many. I met you. Brandon invited you, or somehow you got invited into a league that somehow we were drafting. Now you got caught in the crosshairs of an internal bet that we had here in the DFS Army chat. Group chat here. It's called Put Up or Shut Up, because we wanted to put our money in, and we basically had a draft strategy that all three, you know, me, Mike, and Brandon specifically, all had. And we wanted to kind of try to get our guys. You, of course, messed that entire thing up.
Yes.
Okay. And because you went Amon-Ra at pick, yep. I think it was 6, right? Yeah. Yep. So Brandon's entire reason of putting the league up is because he was going to, you know, test starting Amon-Ra in the first against me being on Eckler's side, and then Mike being on Bijan's side. So it was, you kind of messed it all up, and then it led us, and you were in the chat. We had a little, you know, a kumbaya about the draft as we were going, and just getting to meet you was nice and fun. But after the draft, kind of spurned this entire podcast here, and what we're calling it, or what I decided to call it, was Ford versus Ferrari, baby. Because I was talking to Tron, and Tron had, you know, he went early wide receiver and a tight end. Now you say you're a tight end guy through and through, so basically you were going to go tight end in the second, assuming, you know, I mean, we all kind of know Mark Andrews. You know, this wasn't a high stakes league by any means, but Mark Andrews is pretty much always going to be there. He picked 6, so coming back around, you got him at whatever that was.
3-6, I think it was.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Because you went Davante Adams coming in. So yeah, you got him in the third, and you were like, absolutely had to draft him. But then you came back around and went Jerry Jeudy, which has since, you know, that ship has sailed a little bit on that value, but you waited all the way up and you got Cam Akers, James Conner, and then you again waited to get another running back until you had absolutely fell into the deep end of these handcuffs and ambiguous backfields. And we had a big, long conversation about that. Mm-hmm. And that one was so arousing to my mentals that I absolutely had to get you on right away, because I, one, trashed your draft to your face.
You did. Yeah.
In a good way. I was being very respectful about it. Okay.
Yeah.
But really low on Cam Akers, really low on James Conner, although the volume's going to be there, but the injury history, right? But you had came back, and I'm going to summarize it. I'm going to let you talk, but you say, well, you know what? I'm going to win at the waiver wire. I'm going to be okay with dropping some of my guys in the first week to kind of make up for it here. And I'm going to take a lot of shots deep in the draft, which you did late in the draft with Jerick McKinnon, Rashad Penny, Zamir White, Chuba Hubbard, which again, I trashed you for. Okay. Absolutely trashed you for. Now, Tron, go ahead and defend yourself a little bit. One on Akers and James Conner, Because you could have gotten your running back a little earlier, and I'll kind of attest to that right after that. So go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to pull up the board just so I can remember all this right. But
I have it right here, Tron, if you'd like to see it.
I got it too. So forgive me as I don't look at the screen here. So the Judy pick was that's kind of where everything took a different turn than what my plan was. The people I had in my queue before I took Judy were, well, it's probably, I could just read off who got drafted right before, cause it was my entire queue. It was Joe Mixon, Breece Hall, Travis Etienne. And then there was Deebo Samuel, who I wasn't really targeting. And then Aaron Jones, like those guys would have probably been my fourth round pick. They all went, and then so I took Judy and kind of just committed to somewhat of a zero RB build at that point. And came out. So I know you're down on Akers and Connor. I think the hate on them has gone a little bit too far. You know, I mean, look, they're not without their warts. Like let's not try to paint like a real rosy picture on them. Like they're risks, right? They have their downside. You know, the floor is pretty low, but I think there's a ceiling there. Like with Akers, like if you look towards the end of the last year, I mean, it's not often that you find a guy who played 100% of the snaps in a game, right? And we're going to talk about his handcuff, who I think is one of the worst handcuffs we're going to talk about. Actually, I think he is the stone worst handcuff we're going to talk about.
Yes.
I don't even know why he's on the list, but we're going to talk about him anyways. So I think Akers is a pretty solid bet. I mean, you know, there is that love hate relationship with McVay, but you know, I mean, look, if you believe at all in who Cam Akers has been throughout his career, like in college, like I thought I was really high on him all throughout college. Like obviously, like the Achilles thing happened. It looks like he's one of the few that's been able to push through it and come out the other side. You know, we'll see. Like this could totally blow up in my face. And I said that to myself, like, as I clicked the button.
as I click it.
Well, but see, this is what I was trying to say, Trone, is you draft. So you waited to draft. So zero RB. Another reason why I wanted to get this podcast in right now is Sean Siegel, the king of zero RB, RotoViz. Check it out. JJ Zacharyson just had him on. Long podcast. Wonderful information that you guys can all go and find and search
out.
Great. And that's why we connected too, because I started throwing out a couple good podcasts and you're like, I love that guy. I was like, I like this guy, Trone.
So I may or may not have listened to some Stealing Bananas right before this draft. So that may have influenced a little bit of how I did this.
You would, Trone, but that's okay. So
yeah, those guys are awesome.
Where I was at is you took Cam Akers over Jahmyr Gibbs, Ramondre Stevenson. I just looked at and Kenneth Walker. I just looked at your team.
I took
and
Judy over those guys.
You could have gone running back there. So you decided to, maybe you decided that maybe one of those guys were going to fall. Okay. Understood. But you clearly had a build of two wide receivers and a tight end. So my whole thing this year, this draft season has been hero RB. You need to have it. And the reason why is you fall into this right here, Trone. And this is why I brought you on. You're going to defend yourself, but you fall into this trap of what do I do in the fourth round? And if I decide not to get up or maybe I don't have the opportunity to draft somebody like an ETN or somebody, because ETN's been falling in high stakes. So if ETN's there, great. ETN would be a great start. But either way, you went Judy. You devoided Ramondre Stevenson and Jahmyr Gibbs and Kenneth Walker. And now I look like Trone fell into the trap. He fell into the dead zone of RBs that you don't want to have to rely on. And then you fell into the trap even further where now you're having to rely on zero RB candidates. And I just can't tell if those candidates are Fords or Ferraris, Trone. And so today we're going to go into some of those candidates for zero RB or just, you know, handcuffs, guys that are sitting in the garage, guys that have a tarp over them. When you pull that tarp, is it a Ford Escort from 83 or is it a Ferrari ready to surge out? And maybe Trone has some of these guys, or maybe you guys can get some of these guys later on in the draft. And they do, you pull them out of the garage and they're Ferraris. And we're going to tell you right now what we think of these guys. And first, I got to start off with, I just mentioned Travis Etienne, but Tank Bigsby. Okay. Oh. Now, I'm not going to be a part of this. I'm going to let it all be on Brandon and Trone. Brandon's going to represent DFS Army, Trone representing Jock Market, but we're all representing the people here today. But Brandon, I'll start with you. Tank Bigsby, is he a Ford Escort or a Ferrari?
I think he has the potential to be a Ferrari inside that scheme that the Jaguars are running. He showed in the preseason to have the ability and the explosion to be a starter, and he has a great build. He actually is 6 foot, 210 pounds. That's where he's at right now. His BMI is 28.5, which is 19th. So it's not too bad, but I think ETN has the real possibility of not having any of the past work because of last year, and it's showing the same thing again. He was being taken out on third downs. I think Tank Bigsby can actually steal some of that work and get into the red zone because I feel like he's a better in-between tackle runner anyways than ETN.
So Ford or Ferrari, Brandon?
Ferrari.
Ferrari. Trone, Tank Bigsby, Ford or Ferrari?
I am Ferrari as well. Yeah. I think Tank Bigsby, and this, I'm not the first person to say this, but I think Tank Bigsby is miscast by his name in a lot of ways. He's really kind of like a poor man's ETN. I think that they're very similar players. I think that ETN's better. I think they had coming out, they had similar weaknesses. Like they both take too many risks. Mm-hmm. They both had a lot of receptions. I mean, like I don't have ETNs in front of me. I know it was a lot, but like, college target share wise, Bigsby was 94th percentile. The problem is they weren't that efficient with them. Mm-hmm. They're both good in the open field. They're both athletic. I think how this is going to shake out is that Bigsby is going to be like a really nice complementary piece to ETN. I think it's going to allow the Jags to kind of basically switch them in and out, run similar formations, similar schemes, be less predictable that way. I mean, I think like if you're going to break it out, I think you're probably looking at like ETN's going to be the primary rusher. ETN's going to get the goal line touches at least early on. If he's bad at them, that could end up being a split. And then I think you're going to see like long down and distance, probably a split favoring ETN. And then 2 minute, you're probably going to see ETN. Yeah.
I think Bigsby's a Ferrari as well. Shane's got a comment here. Gents, what is your last running back you are comfortable drafting as your RB1? Now this Joe Mixon's the answer from Brandon, but this is a tough question because it really just depends on where you're getting them. Cause like I'm comfortable with Rashad White as my RB1, but that would also mean that I would have to pass on like 12 guys, you know what I mean? Before I draft him, but I'm comfortable there just because I guarantee I can draft him. Cause you know, I'm good at this, right? and so are you, right? Of course. And that's the idea is that we go out there and get our guys. But like, let's say I'm in a very sharky league, right? And Rashad White's either not going to be there or I have to be up on one of these guys. I really do not want to get out of the Josh Jacobs tier of like, I want one of those first six or seven guys. I have to come out with one of those first six or seven guys because I don't want to fall into the dead zone trap. And you can get behind in a draft really quick. Trone, what is your last running back you're comfortable drafting as RB1? Is it Cam Akers?
Apparently it's Cam Akers. I think it depends on like, I mean, look, if I start out a draft, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Davante Adams, Mark Andrews, and then Jerry Jeudy, like I'm okay with my RB1 being somebody like a Cam Akers. Do I want it to be Cam Akers? No, of course. No one's going to sit here and be like, yeah, I love Cam Akers as my RB1. Would I much rather it like Mixon fell to me? Yes. Breece Hall? Yes. Like those type of guys? Sure. Like that tier is where I'd more comfortably feel, say like that's where I would like the one of the last guys for RB1.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, I'm much more agnostic when it comes to running backs typically.
The real issue was that you went Mark Andrews in the third, which you had to do. Apparently you love going that route. And
that
also,
to me was a no brainer pick.
I just think I think you should have just went Jahmyr Gibbs instead of, Jeudy. You would have been fine.
Probably.
Yeah. But then he would have had
it's easy to say that now.
I know, but you had a Lion stack. It would have been crushing.
know? Yeah, then I could have taken Goff later. Just had the whole offense.
Yes.
So next guy on the list, since we're talking about Cam Akers, let's talk about his handcuff, Kieran Williams. Now, I know Brandon doesn't like him. Brandon, I'm just going to quickly think you're a Ford. Kieran Williams is a Ford. Trone, this is really for you since you said that he is probably one of the worst handcuffs in the backfield, but I'm going to stop it for just a second. I look at where there's smoke, there's fire. Okay. And the smoke coming out of the camp is that he's getting a lot of work and McVay likes him. The offense likes him. Now, I don't know how you can like a very small, very slow running back, but those guys have been drafted in the first round before, i.e. CEH, right? Mm-hmm. So I can understand why you would like somebody that when they get the ball in their hands, they are dynamic outside of what they test. But that's really dangerous to me when all the smoke is about the backup in camp and no smoke is about how, hey, he's getting the lion's share of carries. And I look at it, it's like, well, if the Rams, who profiled to be the worst secondary in the NFL this year, okay, now the only plus side is they also get to go and play the Arizona Cardinals twice a year. So maybe at least in those games, you'll just be sitting there
looking
at the trash bin. but you know, outside of that, you're going to have to go up against pretty stout defenses on both Cam Akers and James Conner side. But Kieran Williams, Trone, Ford, or Ferrari?
So I was writing down some notes earlier. I wrote Vespa. So he's below a Ford.
Okay.
Exactly. We're disparaging.
He's 5'9". He's under 200 pounds. He's got like 22nd percentile BMI. He runs a 10th percentile speed, 4.65. Like, do I think like that smoke is real, that like he's going to get some passing down work? Yeah, I do think that's real. I'm not dismissing that. But what I do think is that he's going to get like the passing down work that's assigned to him. He's not going to earn any more. So the plays they call for him to go out there and catch the ball, he will catch the ball and probably do okay. But McVay is never going to leave a game being like, damn, I got to get Kyren Williams some more targets, some more touches. We got to get him more involved. Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, you mentioned him too. Like, I think, like, you know, we kind of are dismissing Akers the same way we dismissed Jacobs last year, aren't we?
Kind of.
It's a little different. It's a little different because we knew exactly what Jacobs was getting. We don't. I mean, even in the preseason with Jacobs, it was like, okay, Zamir White, maybe he's a young rookie. We kind of like him, but it wasn't anything like this. Like, Kieran Williams is bad, and he's getting smoke. There's smoke around him.
Yeah, well, Zamir White is good. And after the Hall of Fame game, we all thought that he was the RB1.
But that's what I'm trying to say is I don't think we're in the same window here. You know, Cam Akers is decent. Josh Jacobs had been known to be good. And Kieran Williams is trash. And we're talking about him versus with Zamir. It was like we were seeing he was good. So I don't necessarily think those two exactly correlate, but I can see where you're grasping at here, right here.
It's not like an analytics or anything. It's purely vibes.
Yeah.
So this is another thing. Cups injury in and out. I see what you mean, though, Trone.
Not good.
A very good take by Trone is that Kieran Williams is not going to get any more manufactured targets. McVay's not going to look at him and say, we need to get him the ball a little more. It's more dump outs, you know, safety options, which is probably what Kupp, you know, was great at, you know, safety. You know, you weren't running Kupp all the way down the field, but a Vespa is the take of Kieran Williams by Trump, like a dirty one, because Vespa is
rusted, rusted, gross, like
rusted, you know, with a dirty, dirty hippie on the back of it.
Yeah, right? It's got one wheel.
The next guy on the list, Brandon is a Kenneth Walker stan. Okay, I'm from Seattle. I'm wearing the Mariners jersey, best team in baseball right now. Mariners. Let me shout that one out to you. Beat the Red Sox up not too long ago. Yeah, that's where Trump's from. I'm sorry about that. But Zach Charbonnet is getting a lot of love. Okay. A lot of love. And I can see why. Right. But Brandon seems to think that Charbonnet, you know, may be a little bit overhyped to where he is. Brandon Adam, Ford or Ferrari is Charbonnet. Now, this is tough for you.
No, I think we have in Seattle two really great running backs. and I'm just trying to figure out how it's going to be divvied up. I think Charbonnet could be very successful within this offense, and Ken Walker could be successful within this offense, especially with the slow go with JSN immediately forward or Ferrari. I think Zach Charbonnet has everything you would like to see in a Ferrari-type lottery running back. Yes, he has that.
Okay, yeah. So we just had a good comment. A comment was basically a Ferrari in a box on a shelf, because that's, you know, maybe like a model Ferrari is maybe right? What you're thinking with Karen Williams. Tron, what do you think about Charbonnet?
Yeah, a Ferrari. I think you could actually make the case that these two, him and Walker, should be in the ambiguous backfield section that we're going to get to later versus just the handcuff. I mean, look, he's got like all the elements that you look for in one of those handcuffs, who's like the premium, massive contingent upside handcuffs. I mean, size, like he's got draft capital, he's got speed, he's got burst, he's got like that 90 something percentile target share. Like if Walker misses time, like Charbonnet season is on. He's like a never leave the field like profile. I mean, like he's got to earn that, but he's got the profile of somebody who can just never leave the field. Right. And so, yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a world where Walker maintains the same role that he had last year and Charbonnet just mixes in. There's also, I think, a pretty close to even world that this is kind of like a Broncos, like Javonte, Melvin Gordon split. I think there's a world where that happens as well. I mean, Charbonnet just kind of strikes me as like, you know, like, I mean, and this is like, I like to end stuff with like a vibes take. Like he kind of gives me Chris Carson vibes, where like doesn't do anything exceptionally, does a lot of things really well, and Pete Carroll's just going to love it.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, being from Seattle, I know a little bit about my team here, but the only thing that gives credence to Charbonnet getting a 50-50 split is if it's impossible to take the ball away from him.
Right.
Because Seattle will give him the opportunity, and if he's ripping off, you know, runs, or he's getting 10, 15 yards, or he's carrying three defenders on his back, and we can just dispel a little of Kenneth Walker and deploy him as a 1A, 1B, then that's phenomenal. Ford or Ferrari? Charbonnet's a Ferrari, my guy. Let's gas it up. Let's shine him up and get him out the garage this year, huh? All right. Charbonnet, right to Samaje Perine. Okay, Javonte Williams returning off an injury. Samaje Perine got a lot of work last year in dispel of Joe Mixon. It looked good, but they didn't retain him. They decided to keep Mixon on a lower end deal. Brandon Adam, Ford or Ferrari, Samaje Perine?
I think this is going to be a Ford in the end. I think early in the season, it will look good for Perine. But as the season grows, I think Javonte Williams will grow his role and he will become the number one back, lead back, three down back for Sean Payton down the stretch last half of the season. I just don't feel super comfortable ADP investing into Perine right now. I'd rather just invest into Javonte and just hope Javonte ends up playing the season. That's how I approach that situation.
Trone, Ford or Ferrari, Samaje Perine?
I think he's a zero RB Ferrari. I think Brandon, I agree with pretty much everything that you said. I mean, you know, I think he like you guys said, he got a lot of work last year, like spelling Mixon in the passing game. Like he was 15th among running backs in yards per route run last year, so he's competent in that. And you know, I think like if you're going zero RB, I love getting Samaje as like your first few weeks. Like, you know, like a starter for the first few weeks, you know, like Peyton clearly likes him, like Sean Payton, like he was one of the first guys Payton signed, if not the first. He was like one of the first guys signed, I believe, in free agency, like overall. So Payton saw something in him. If anything goes wrong with Javonte, and like, you know, fingers crossed that doesn't happen. Like I'm a big Javonte guy. Like I love that profile that he has. Like.
Yeah.
Brandon, we were talking about earlier, just like guys you just love to watch. Like Javonte, he's so much fun to watch. And you know, I'm definitely hoping his ACL is more Adrian Peterson than it is J.K. Dobbins.
Right.
We've seen Perine handle a full workload like in small samples. So I think to get him, especially if you go zero RB, to get him as like your early first few weeks season starting running back. Like I'm into that.
So let's go over how much he played. He played 16 games last year, rush attempts 95, 394 yards. Yards per carry is 4.2. He had 38 receptions for 287 yards and 6 TDs. So very heavy TD dependent for his production, but I get what you're saying. I just think he's that typical veteran coaches sign just to get through an early season injury issue.
Yeah, I believe he played a couple games just with the backfield to himself last year. I know one game, I remember starting him, he scored 20-something points. So right. he can do it. I mean, right. Would I bet on him doing it all year? Of course not. But yeah. I think in limited stints, he can get done with, you know, exactly what you said, like veteran coach, veteran running back. Mm-hmm. He's going to do what you tell him to do.
Yes, sir. Yep.
You know, Trone, you missed on Samaje Perine by one pick, it looks like. In the draft that we did, it looks like you might have gone Daniel Jones, which as QB one in the 10th or 9th round. I can't see it.
I went Jones in the 9th, and I was hoping Samaje would fall to me in the 10th, and he went one pick before.
See, but this is what I'm talking about, Trone. You get yourself trapped up in these situations because you expect to have to hit on these guys since you missed them, and then when they start coming two picks before you. Because you know someone else knows. They already know he's a Ferrari. Yeah. Now it kind of shifts your status a little bit. I also agree that he's a bit of a Ferrari, but I love Brandon's take. As you shine him up, you maybe put a body kit on a Pontiac, and he looks like a Ferrari. But then he starts to break down because Javonte Williams comes back, looks good, takes him out. Now. The thing about Javonte is he got the lion's share of workload in a preseason game, which was appalling to me after a guy coming off an injury. But I like that. I like what that means. So I'm a little down on Samaje, but I do agree that he is a Ferrari. Another one. This one's talked about, and it's tough. But, well, let's say this. Shane says he rides a Ford. Yes, he is. Okay, this is a good comment right here. What type of Ford are we talking? Mustang or an Escort? Now, you came in a little bit later, and that's okay. We're going to call Ford like a dirty 83 Escort. Okay. Yes. Not a Mustang. We're not out here trying to act like we got American Muscle in the driveway. We got either a Ford or a Mustang, or excuse me, a Ford Escort or a Ferrari. There ain't no in between.
Yeah.
A Pinto. Is that a Ford? Yeah, let's say it's
close enough.
Okay,
just a POS car versus a Ford.
Just whatever junker you drove around in high school, that's what we're talking about.
Whatever manufacturer you want. You
know? All right, Trone, we're going to start with you. Tyler Allgeier, Ford or Ferrari?
I'm going to give him a Ferrari.
There we go.
It's hard to not give him Ferrari. I mean,
yeah, geez, I think he's like a Ferrari kit car, though. Like, I mean, I think he's got virtually no standalone value. But obviously that's solely because of who's in front of him now. So
Ferrari votes.
I mean, look, you know, like
Tyler Allgeier.
So I think like, you know, like I wasn't into him at all. 5th round rookie. Like I'm not really huge, like day 3 guys. I'm not hugely into, but then you put up 1,000 yards, you have bell cow size, you're in an offense that's going to run that if they could run the ball 1,000 times this year, they probably would. You know, so I think like, I mean, like the Atlanta's lied to us and said that they want to give Allgeier a lot of touches. There's probably a non-zero world where that does happen. I mean, but like last year he was, I think for the last like five weeks of the year, he was like RB5.
Yes, he was.
Like last year, 12th in evaded tackles, 12th in breakaway runs, 15th in juke rate, 17th in ETA. So like, you know, like none of, I mean, he's not like a Ferrari.
I'm smelling a real Ferrari.
Yeah,
Ferrari,
yeah, I mean, look, bro. I mean, look. If like, God forbid, anything should happen to Bijan, and if it does, I think I might just quit fantasy football.
I know,
like going back to back, like Breece Hall, then Bijan. But like, God forbid anything should happen to him, like out, like wheels up for Allgeier. Like, I think he's a really good runner.
Yeah. Okay. Allgeier was one of our babies on our lot in our breakdown for rookies during last year's draft. And we loved him coming out of Brigham Young. He was an ex-linebacker, turned into a 3-down back workhorse for them. I mean, come on, has the grit. The coaches love this guy. He's a great team guy. If anything happens to Bijan, this guy is going to win you your league. Like, that is the type of guy you want. And I do still think he has standalone value, not to the point of what Charbonnet has, but to – I think they would rather give Algier some touches versus Cordell Patterson. I think Cordell Patterson is going to start really disappearing unless it's like a trick kind of play, kind of like red zone play. You're going to see a lot more Algier over Patterson in key times of the games.
What? So what if a team were to offer something to trade for Algier? Like, what is Algier's trade value right now? Because no, you can't go second. I mean, Christian McCaffrey is valued at a second rounder.
No, that's
Jonathan
true.
Taylor's a second rounder, but it's really tough because Algier's coming off a 1,000-yard season where he's proved that he can do it and do it really well. Mm-hmm. But a second, I think, is too much, Trone. What do you think?
Are we like real NFL second
round?
Yeah. Yeah, you're not getting that for him.
Third round?
You're probably getting like a fourth, fifth round pick swap.
I don't know.
So you keep him, right? I mean, because at the value, Bijan goes down, you got nothing. Yeah. Let's go Tyler Algier.
I still think he gets 125, 150, you know, carries this year. So
yes, 14% on Algier over 114 best balls. That's pretty good.
I like that. Slightly above.
Love that. Let's go. He's one of my favorite guys. I got a real high ownership as well because I am team fade Bijan at ADP right now. So.
Oh, gee, see, this is what started this whole thing. Okay. So if this person could comment how they pronounce their name, because I can't tell if I should call them. I always want to call Ashley, but it's not Ashley. So somebody comment here so I can see how to pronounce your name. But next guy, Roshan Johnson, Ford or Ferrari, Trone?
Ferrari, like very much a Ferrari. I think his profile is an interesting one because it's like littered with asterisks because he played behind Bijan, right? So all of his production metrics are not going to look great, but the 98th percentile missed tackles forced per attempt. 75th percentile. I think Noah Hill puts out like relative success rate for running backs.
Name drop.
Yeah. He's Noah Moore Parties on Twitter. He's awesome. Anyways, like 75th percentile, like relative success rate. Like he's a very adequate, like above average receiver. He was the best pass blocker in this class.
That's huge. You mentioned that because
we're going to get into like why I think he's a real Ferrari in a second. Like Khalil Herbert's not a good pass blocker. If I recall correctly, he's not. I think, you know, which is going to mean like Roshan's already the RB2 on this team.
Yep.
Deontay Foreman's hurt. Yep. And he doesn't strike me as the player who's going to come back from that and like take that spot back from a rookie with a lot of upside. So like Roshan's already the RB2. He's going to be on the field in passing situations because he's a really good pass blocker and he can catch the ball. So I think like what we're hoping for that, I mean, I've said his name already. Like if Roshan Johnson becomes Chris Carson, that's awesome. I think the downside is he becomes Samaje Perine.
Which is still good, right?
Still good,
That's still good. I mean, Roshan Johnson's is a really tough one because he probably should get out of the handcuff area and more into the ambiguous backfields. Brandon Adam, don't know if you're ready here. You got yourself on mute. But Roshan Johnson, Ford or Ferrari?
I have him as a Ferrari as well. I have heavy, heavy drafting of him throughout best ball this whole offseason. I like the path for him. David Montgomery was the lead back last year. Roshan kind of fits that kind of mold for that kind of – he can carry a
real – a pretty good comp, I think.
Yeah. I think he's got some real – athleticism to him at his size. He's 6 foot, 215. He's a big boy. Coaches are going to love him because they could trust him. And if they could trust you, you're going to get snaps. And that is the biggest thing you got to overcome as a running back. So it's already showing in the preseason. They've been putting Roshan in third down and long to pass block. There you go.
I like Roshan too. What's again with the smoke and fire thing is, you know, Khalil Herbert's the starting running back there. So
I mean,
is that because they want to keep Fields with more consistency and just make sure somebody knows the playbook, knows where to be every single time, somebody you can hand off who looks good, feels good, everything? Or is it that he's beating Roshan in camp? I mean, and if he is, then why give anything to Roshan if Khalil's shown he can be a Ferrari himself. Go ahead, Brandon.
It's just all dependent on durability for Khalil Herbert. If there's any hiccup, Johnson's going to take that job. Just
and we, yeah, yep, that's 100% true. All right, Trone, another one here for you. Ford or Ferrari, Ty Chandler.
Ford.
Minnesota. Ford, okay.
Boom. Yeah.
Here we go. Okay, why is he a Ford? He looks like a Ferrari.
I think my initial thought went to Ferrari, but as I looked through it, I landed on a Ford. Mediocre rushing profile. Coming out, he has decent receiving efficiency, which is kind of how he's casted. But he never was really featured as a pass catcher. And, you know, and then like we just talked about Roshan and pass protection, Chandler's not very good. No. I think that like there is a world where he earns his way. Like I'm also pretty below market on Madison. So I think that there is a world where like Chandler, just by existing on the team on the depth chart, he earns his way into a committee, probably because Madison loses the job versus Chandler earning it. That said, like if Madison goes down, I see them going like a Fournette Kareem Hunt route than I do just like Ty Chandler season. But also like, are we, and this feels even weird to say, but are we at all concerned that Miles Gaston comes in and earns the receiving role?
Right?
Like no, that. I mean, it's, really it's unlikely, but we've seen him do it.
You can do it.
Yep. I mean, I'm not betting on it, but it's possible. Like
I've been hearing more is that the beat writers are saying that they're actually preparing Madison for a three down back role.
Yeah,
it's not that they're going to separate anything from him. They're just going to keep him in there. You're going to see an uptick in his passing profile, which is why I'm drafting Alexander Madison, especially where he's at. I don't have the draft results in front of me, but was Alexander Madison off the board before you took Cam Akers? Do you have it right there?
Madison came off the board after I took Connor.
Oh. How dare you? That is incredible. Okay, well, you hate Alexander Madison.
I love Alexander Madison when I could have picked him up off waivers and Dalvin Cook got hurt. I don't know. I think like I kind of buy into the, you know, he's started six games in his career or whatever, and four were against the Lions and just terrible teams. Like, I mean, look, you know, he's, you know, I don't think he's any different than Cam Akers, James Conner. I'll just take my preference, and it's not Madison.
Brandon Adam, Ty Chandler, Ford or Ferrari?
Ford. It's already been hinted at by the coaching staff by bringing Kareem Hunt in to see how he looked and for contract negotiations and whatnot. I think they are already planning on getting a veteran at some point if there is any kind of injury. They're just lucky. A lot of these teams are very lucky the fact that they don't have to sign these veteran RBs right now and have them under their salary cap right now. They can just keep them out there in the market, and they're going to just wait for an injury, and they're going to be able to get a RB replacement fairly cheaply and still keep it without having to commit early those dollars to Kareem Hunt or Leonard Fournette. I just don't see it.
Ty Chandler truthers out there so hard. 98th percentile 40 score, 92nd percentile speed score, 5'11", 204, runs a 4.38. I mean, he you can see him, and you want to say Ferrari, but it sounds like my guys are saying Ford here. Now let's get into a little bit of this. This is a little bit of the gel here, a little bit of the goods. Jaylen Warren, Brandon Adam, Jaylen Warren, Ford or Ferrari?
I think Jaylen Warren is a Ferrari. He has own independent value as of right now. I feel that Coach Tomlin wants to get him the ball a little bit more this year. I think, why force it and overfeed Najee Harris if he's not super efficient when you can give it to Jaylen Warren and, you know, spell Harris a little bit? But It's not like Harris is a super bad player, so Jaylen Warren isn't going to overtake, you know, Najee Harris like some truthers think he's going to. It's going to take an injury for him to become a real Ferrari, but he does have some independent value.
Trone, Jaylen Warren, Ford or Ferrari?
Jaylen Warren's a Ferrari.
There you go.
I think, I mean, it's not uncommon that we see a you know, like an RB2 be more, have better efficiency metrics than the starter.
Right.
But even if you like adjust for lighter boxes, which is usually why the backup, you know, is more efficient, he still comes out more efficient than Najee. You know, I mean, Najee does have a little bit of Trent Richardson vibes.
That's so nasty to say, too. It's so true.
I don't think he's going to be Trent Richardson. Like, he's not going to be, like, you know, 5 years later. I think I heard he's playing in, like the Mexican Football League right now. I mean, I think he led the league in touchdowns, so props to him. But, you know, like, Najee's not going that route. He's better than that. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, like, I mean, Jaylen Warren was in pretty much, like, almost every, like, efficiency metric was better. You know, like yards before contact, missed tackles forced per attempt, yards after contact, you know, per attempt, you know, like just pretty much better than Najee in all those categories again, and better than most backs in across the NFL in general. I think per PFF, he had the fourth highest receiving grade for running backs last year. You know, 1.24 yards per route run, which is good for running backs. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's still going to be like primary, like Najee's going to get all the primary rushes and the goal line. But I think long down and distance, I think 2 minute, like you're going to see a lot of Jaylen Warren.
Sure.
I wouldn't say I'm a truther of Jaylen Warren. It's more an indictment that I've seen this before. And once you start seeing it, like on the NFL level where you're talking about player personnel, it starts to, he starts to, that backfield starts to mesh into a very similar backfield that you saw over the last couple years, where Jaylen Warren, all of a sudden he's Tony Pollard and Najee Harris is Zeke Elliott. And now Zeke's going to bounce from team to team to team, because what you get from Zeke is that he's a great first, second down grinder. But what you really want is to give Jaylen Warren the full load. Whether the Steelers will ever do that, because they are a very traditional football team. They took Najee in the first round. They're giving him first round back material. He's every bit of a three down back, very inefficient, but like Trone said, that's, they may be scheming, stack in the box. They could be doing a lot. Najee gives everything he has every play. So, you know, I really like Najee Harris, the football player, but for fantasy football, give me Jaylen Warren all day. As a zero RB candidate, I think Jaylen Warren has probably the best profile of the guys that we have talked about so far, probably right up there with Tank Bigsby, where these guys are going and have a carved role with the number ones. You'll be seeing them on probably a 60-40, 70-30 split, where Jaylen Warren's going to be Tony Pollard. With that 30% split, he's going to do absolutely everything he can with it, and you're going to see why next year and, you know, in the future, that this guy's going to start to compete to be a lead back in the NFL. So next guy up, Devon Achane. Brandon Adam, Ford or Ferrari, Devon Achane?
Everything is lining up for our boy Devon Achane. I am extremely excited for this guy. Trone and I were talking, you know, before the pod about him a little bit. If you just looked at his metrics and his production metrics, you would think this guy is going to be, you know, Todd Gurley three down back kind of guy. But because he's 5'9", 188 pounds, he's going to be disregarded a little bit and kind of pigeonholed into what kind of role he's going to get. But the role that he's going to get in that kind of offense is going to be all the three down catching ability. I think he's going to catch a ton of passes this year from the dump downs, from checking from high down to low. It's going to give Devon Achane so much room to operate and be able to make people miss on that first time. It's going to create easy yards for Tua. I'm a big fan of Devon Achane. Give me Ferrari all day. I like him a lot, especially because all the old men in that RB room around him are going to all fall dead on their face throughout the year.
Yeah. And one already is right now. But our friend Ashley here says Devon Achane's a Ford. How dare you, Ashley? But does Trone side with you? Trone, Devon Achane, Ford or Ferrari?
He's definitely, to me, a Ferrari for all the things that Brandon said. I get the Ford case here. He weighs 188 pounds and he got tackled and he's already hurt. So I do get it. And if you look at historical comps and historical, you know, players that break out that look like him, there's really not many of them. So, you know, I don't love the, like, I'm not typically a bet on outliers guy, but Devon Achane is one of the outliers that I'm going to bet on. You know, I think like he proved that he can, I mean, look, if you take college production as a predictor of what you're going to do in the NFL,
exactly.
Like he kind of proved that he can handle a workload at A&M. You know, like his rush yard market share was like, I think it was like a 0.1 or 0.01% behind Bijan's best year. So like he's handling a similar workload that Bijan did.
Yeah.
Granted it's against college guys. It's different in the NFL. Like, definitely understand that, but like he was above 80th percentile and like yards per, like relative, like success rate, yards per carry. Like, you know, if you look at like box adjusted efficiency, like how well he's doing against different kind of boxes, missed tackles forced per attempt, like all that stuff. Like he was, like Brandon, you said it perfectly. Like if you close your eyes and just look at the profile, he looks more like a 215 pound SEC workhorse than he does 188 pound satellite back.
Correct.
Well, and we already saw one of the old running backs ahead of him go on IR today. So for all of those reasons, I am in.
Let's talk about another A&M running back that a lot of people had hoped for was Isaiah Spiller. And his prospect profile is very similar to what you're trying to say to me about Devon Achane. So that's just a little bit of the devil's advocate to that college production. Now they gave him the same amount, or at least it looks like they gave him the same amount of lion's share in that offense. But here's the thing about a Ferrari sometimes, Trone, and anybody who knows or owns a Ferrari, I don't own a Ferrari, but I manage somebody that owns a Ferrari, drives it to work every single day. And he'll tell you the same thing he tells anybody else about a Ferrari is when it goes, it's great.
Yeah.
It doesn't go very long or far, but when it's on the road, it's a gem. And that's exactly what Devon Achane is. He, you know, 4 for 48 and a touchdown as a floor, you know, and 4 receptions for 48 yards and a touchdown. I'm not even talking about if he gets any carries or anything like that.
And he can carry the rock. He can flat out play.
It's again, just kind of like you said before, Trone, it's kind of one of those things where you become a little bit more unpredictable every time he's in, they pass and he comes in, he runs. So you just have no idea. Now you're right though. Gets tackled once, separates shoulder, whatever the heck happens. And yeah. Okay. Well that we're going to have to get a little bit bigger. Go ahead.
So question for you guys, if Achane was 215 pounds, everything else being equal, what round would he go in redraft leagues this year? Second round, right?
Second round.
So like the risk is already priced in.
Exactly. It's a home run. Like you can't miss with him at value right now.
And that's what we're saying. He's in the garage. We got to whip it off and let the Ferrari out the garage here, Trone. Last guy, as far as our handcuffs, Tajay Spears. Brandon Adam, Tajay Spears, Ford or Ferrari?
Now this guy is a league winner. Hands down. Yeah, because the guy that's in front of him, Derrick Henry, if there's any issues with him, this Tajay Spears has shown this preseason that he can flat out fly. This guy can flat out get into the second level of the defense. And when he does, he eats up grass quickly. So I'm very big fan of how this guy runs. Spears is a very explosive runner. I'm excited to see what he can do. Derrick Henry's getting long in the tooth, boys. I think they're going to need a little bit of juice at the line of scrimmage in the RB position versus the way Henry plays the line play. The line play is going to be really bad in Tennessee this year. Really bad. So they're going to need a running back that can fix bad plays by a lineman. And how you can do that is with agility and speed. And Spears has that.
Trone. Tajay Spears, Ford or Ferrari?
Yeah, Brandon and I have been agreeing too much, so it's time to go the other way. He's a Ford. I don't disagree. He's explosive. I think like his, he kind of looks like a, I guess like a James, like kind of like a James Cook type of player, like very efficient, probably looks low like volume.
McKinnon to me.
Sure. Like that, yeah. I probably would put him as a Ferrari then, because I love McKinnon.
I know. That's why you're wrong.
Or like Kenny Gainwell with better draft capital, right?
Okay.
No, I think like he handled a big workload in college. But like for me, I don't know, hard to bet on somebody. Like I think the cartilage, no cartilage in his knee thing is scaring me.
No
I
ACLs.
Think like yeah, no
one like, contract player. One
sure,
contract.
Yeah. Like yeah, yeah, I mean, like definitely a better like you know, seasonal play than to bet on him in Dynasty, but
yeah,
I don't know. I think that if Derrick Henry goes down, nothing goes in this offense. I think this offense would immediately go to worst in the league, like by a lot. Terrible offensive line. You know, you just I'm not too excited about the Titans this year. I may be wrong. Spears is definitely an exciting player. Like he's definitely got juice. Like if he gets loose, like yeah, he's gone. But I'm a forward on Spears.
I will say this. How dare you, Prone? That's all I have to say about
that's right. That's what I'm saying.
No ACLs will great because if Derrick Henry does, I mean, okay, so this is what I'd like to say about okay, let's actually, you know, we are getting long in the tooth in this podcast. So we have a lot still more to talk about. Here's what I'd like to do is I would like to go around the table. I am not I don't like drafting handcuffs. So I have just took a stance a long time ago that it's a better hedge to let the handcuff go instead of secure that roster spot and hope for an injury. I'm not a big fan. So unless I'm going zero RB is the only time I'm ever going to shoot on a handcuff. Trone, or do you like drafting handcuffs?
Not my own, but yes.
Exactly. Not your own. I like.
I will have my own handcuffs in Dynasty. I will not in redraft. I think when you have a five or six, maybe even an eight man bench, like it doesn't serve you having, yes, you know, protecting yourself like that. You're getting a downgrade likely in production, but you get an extra starter if you have somebody else's. So my entire bench won't be him, but like I'll sprinkle a few in and they'll just be, you know, they'll just keep cycling through.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to list some ambiguous backfields here. If you got a strong take, say it. Otherwise, just tell me who you think is going to come out of this backfield and we'll take it to both of you. So Brian Robinson, Antonio Gibson, Trone.
I don't have a strong take, but give me Antonio Gibson.
Brandon?
Gibson's a RB 18 to RB 21.
So what's Robinson?
So Robinson's below that.
Okay.
A plotter?
I'm gonna take Robinson, just because I do think that again, why is Robinson still around? I mean, Gibson is a Ferrari. I mean, if we were to ask Gibson, is Gibson a Ferrari? Yeah, he's big, he's fast, but he's the poster child
for Ferrari.
Yes, yeah, he's some reason why it's not working out there. Brian Robinson's even around after he's got shot. Okay, so. Crazy. I just think there's a reason why he's around. He's probably going to be RB1 there. David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. Now, some would say this isn't an ambiguous backfield, but Jahmyr Gibbs drafted in the first round. Brandon Adam, I know you love him. Tell me who, and if you have a strong take, go ahead.
I think Gibbs is going to be that guy that people were searching for. And he's a league winner. I think he's going to be a top 12 back this year. He has a possibility to outscore Bijan Gibbs all the way.
Trone.
Yeah, I'll take both.
This is not Mike. Mike D is not on this podcast here
tonight. I'm into both at cost. You know, I think everything Brandon you said. Like, I mean, the history on top half of the round one running backs is exceptional. With the sole caveat, they don't usually look like Gibbs, so that's kind of the only
slightly smaller.
I mean, he's not like A-Chain or Kyren Williams size.
Exactly,
he's small. I think like looking back with, you know, if we're going to go back to that draft, like, yeah, with Judy getting hurt, I wish I took Gibbs.
He's Jamal Charles reincarnated. Yeah. He's going to be.
I think they can both pay off where you're getting him in drafts.
I think that that's a smart take because Gibbs is going in the fourth round. If he was going in the second or third round where, you know, right when this first, when he first got, when he was first drafted, he was going in the second or third round. The market has calmed a little on him. But
a little bit. But if you go to high stakes, he is on the steam, my friend. He is getting in the second.
It's and the only reason is in high stakes, it's obvious. I mean, you've got a bet complete upside there. Yes. So yeah, he's got upside, but that's why I don't. And I think Montgomery's the kind of running back that he very well could just take the ball every time, do something great with it, and Gibbs, you'd have to be figuring out how to work Gibbs in instead of, hey, this is absolutely what we're doing here.
I think people are all jazzed up for David Montgomery because of Jamal Williams last year. Remember, Jamal Williams had an unreal TD record here. No matter what, David Montgomery is not going to replicate that ever. It just won't happen again. And so if people are expecting him to get the same kind of TDs production that Jamal had, I just don't see that. I don't see it at all. I think Gibbs is going to be a monster this year. They got him for a reason. Alvin Kamara, Jamal Charles.
Amon Ra's not going to get tackled at the one seven times or five times he did last year. Yeah, I think Montgomery gives you more than Jamal. I mean, the Lions kind of went to like Jamal Williams and was like, hey, you're never going to catch a pass. Like, we would rather Justin Jackson and Craig Reynolds catch passes than you, but we'll give you every single touchdown.
Which seems to be their thing, because that's obviously what they wanted in Swift, got away from it, got their guy who they think can just catch all those passes.
It was a personality thing. It was an attitude issue with Swift. It was a coaching, butting of the heads. The way they dealt with the backfield last year, I don't think it's going to be like that this year. I think they are so happy about Gibbs, they want to prove a point.
Yeah. If you like Swift – You'll like Gibbs. I think he's going to be everything that the Lions thought.
Yes.
I am doing my best to kind of get through the rest of this that we have here, I like long form. I'm a very big fan of it.
Joe Rogan. We don't need 3 hours.
Okay. We don't need 3 hours, but here's the thing. Last year, AJ Dillon was hyped a lot. He was the guy drafted in the fifth, sixth, seventh. Ambiguous backfield. They were assuming he was going to take the role. All of a sudden, AJ Dillon's dead. Now, I don't think anything changed from last year to this year. So I think what has changed is the landscape of the RB, the RBs in general, and where they're being drafted. Guys coming off of injury, we have no idea. Those guys are sliding into that A.J. Dillon area from last year, so it's pushing A.J. Dillon even further down. Trone, A.J. Dillon or Aaron Jones? I think the answer is Aaron Jones, but why isn't it A.J. Dillon?
I just don't think there's any reason to look at this backfield like differently than it's been the past 5 years. The only difference is the other guy in the backfield. It's Jordan Love this year, right? So, but I think the split will be the same. Like Aaron Jones is now 28, so you may see somewhat of a dip in efficiency and in production that goes to AJ Dillon. But I think I'm perfectly fine drafting both of them where they are. I think the case for AJ Dillon is he's going in round 10, and versus bets like Kendre Miller, Charbonnet, Perine, like he's probably a better bet than them. It probably put him at the top of that tier. Maybe not, right? But I think the case for AJ Dillon is last year's hype becomes realized. But if it didn't happen last year,
he's a Ford.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Anybody?
I agree with you.
Let me tell you this.
I think what you saw last year is what you see this year, and like that, I don't think we have to overcomplicate it.
Yeah. All you need to know is this: is that the Green Bay Packers were in on Jonathan Taylor. That tells you everything you need to know how they feel about their running back room. They know Aaron Jones is getting old. He's definitely good still. They know that AJ Dillon's a plotter that really isn't that great and explosive. He looks like He-Man when he comes off the bus, but doesn't, he's not like Derrick Henry or anything. So that is what they thought he was. He is not. They moved on. This is the same Matt LaFleur that knew Derrick Henry and coached Derrick Henry. He knows exactly what he's looking for. They looked at JT. AJ Dillon is a no draft list for me. he's off my list.
Damian Harris, James Cook. Damian Harris got the goal line carry, scared everybody. Scared everybody off of James Cook, Brandon Adam. James Cook or Damian Harris here, because they seem to be getting drafted now. Now, James Cook's getting bounced down a little bit, not a lot, but Damian Harris sure is moving up a lot.
I am not buying into any Damian Harris. This is James Cook's job, to be honest. I think their RB2 is Josh Allen. I don't feel that Harris will come in on short yardage, third and one, you know, short yardage, plunge plays, if they need some tough, gritty yards. But James Cook is going to be the guy that they design actual offense around, because he could just flat out do more in the offensive passing game. So I'm out on Harris.
Completely. Ashley's over here just tearing down the chat, says Harris. And with nothing, and then comments he's cheaper. Okay, so at first I was like, well, explain yourself. But okay, so she's taking the he's cheaper route.
Yeah,
and that's what I tend to take when you're up really high. I think down, if you're going zero RB and you end up with James Cook,
not bad.
I think you're pretty happy with it.
Yeah.
At that, you'd have to bet on that. So I wouldn't draft a handcuff there. But Trone, Damian Harris, if he ends up getting 10 goal line touchdowns this year, one, I don't think we'd be surprised. But two, is that enough for you to bet on somebody like that when you've clearly lost in the draft by drafting Cam Akers and James Conner?
If I knew Damian Harris was going to get 10 rushing touchdowns this year, I would be very fully in. I'd have him on every single
exactly,
team.
Exactly, right?
And I do think, look, I mean, I'm a Patriots fan. I watched Damian Harris be a good runner of the football.
Sure.
He's got the size. Like, you know, he's not great. He's not going to steal any, like, the long down and distance passing game stuff. He sucks in pass protection. He's not a good receiver. I think he will be annoying enough to James Cook's, like, overall production this year where I'm probably out on both.
That's a good take, because here's the thing. Devin Singletary was a pest, and he is worse. He is way worse than Damian Harris.
Much worse.
So there's absolutely no way. There's no way Damian Harris isn't going to have something. Now, whether he loses that or James Cook surpasses what everybody wants him to be, that's a different story. But Trone, what do we do with Dalvin Cook and Breece Hall?
So I think it's pretty reasonable to project this backfield to look very similar to what we've seen Green Bay do in recent years. If you're asking me, do I think Breece Hall is a better player than Dalvin Cook? It's not even close.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into a player debate. Like Breece Hall, at this point in their careers, like Breece Hall is light years better of a player than Dalvin Cook. But I think it's like Rodgers clearly has influence in the front office of what this offense has looked like. I mean, Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard, he brought those people over. Like, I'm willing to bet he had a say in Dalvin Cook too. In those Packers offenses, you know, with Nathaniel Hackett, they ran a lot of two back sets. So I think you're going to see a lot of both. And I think they ran it at one of the higher rates in the league. I think it's just, you know, and I think right now, Dalvin Cook is the third best player on this offense, and Breece Hall is the second best player on this offense. So I think they don't really have a whole lot of other options outside of Garrett Wilson.
They're both going to be successful, don't you think? Yes. Don't you think there's two pathways for both of them to be very successful?
Absolutely.
I do. There's plenty of room, especially with all the injuries at the wide receiver room right now. They had retirements to injuries now. Like you said, it's really Garrett Wilson or bust right now in the passing game. I think it's going to be a complete funnel to Garrett Wilson, and they're going to get the ball in the reception abundance to the RB position for both backs, I think.
I agree with you. I think, like, you know, Breece Hall at like the 4-5 turn is great. Dalvin Cook is like your RB1 in a zero RB build is fine. I just think it's going to be a pretty similar. I mean, Rodgers has always had a lot of influence at the line of scrimmage from play calling. He's very willing to, you know, to check down to receivers, to audible, check down to running backs. I think you're going to see a lot of that this year. It's still going to go mostly to Breece Hall. Like, he's light years better. But yeah, I think
it's security, Trone. That's all it is. And Aaron Rodgers had to restructure his contract to get Dalvin Cook. There was no surprise about that. He's happy to do it. Just like you said, he does check down. If Breece Hall's not able to be out there 100% of the time, then you know Aaron Rodgers says, well, there's a guy on the waiver who I've been watching forever who destroys me. You know, so we just want to make sure that this team, because you're right, we only have Randall Cobb, we have Alan Lazard. It's not like we're doing great for my pass catching options here and our young tight ends, right? We need to have some type of stability that can bail me out. And he used Aaron Jones for many years, but it's going to be Breece Hall on first down by week 4 or 5. But yeah, in the first 3 weeks, it's going to be a mix. They both can be profitable. DeAndre Swift or Rashad Penny's been a tough go. A lot of people say it's Kenny Gainwell. Okay. And if you talk about wanting the cheapest option in this backfield, it's for sure Kenny Gainwell. But Swift has league winning upside. I don't know what to do. Trone, what should we do? And then we'll get into our send home segment here.
Just take Kenny Gainwell in the 12th round and be done with it.
That's exactly what I was going to say. But Brandon, do you have anything to say about that? Now, I'm higher on Swift because I think his issues are still baked into where you got to draft him in home leagues. And now,
exactly. It's tough. Exactly. The value is there with Swift. He has the higher upside. Before he got drafted to the Lions, when he was coming out, we all thought he was a 3-down back, correct?
Yeah, well, you had to bet that he was.
How about you, Troy? 3-down back. No?
Swift coming out?
Yeah.
Yeah, he obviously had that potential.
I had Swift number 2 in the class. So I was very high on Swift. I think he has a full-on ability to be a 3-down back in this league. He has the explosive traits in the passing game. The problem is Philadelphia Eagles don't pass to the running back. They just don't. And it's just because Jalen Hurts ends up just taking the ball and running it whenever those situations do arise. So that's the only thing that makes me nervous about Swift is that a lot of his – I think what makes him special is the pass catching ability and what he does with the ball after he catches the ball. So if he's not getting that opportunity, him as a first and second down running back, getting banged on every single – you know, I'm a little nervous. I'm actually fading all those running backs. But if I'm going to choose one, it's Swift because he has the highest upside.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I mean, the cheaper ones gain well 100%, but I think I'm also choosing Swift because it's not about what Jalen Hurts did last year because they were in blowouts last year.
True. Okay?
They were in complete blowouts last year. Let's pull back on Jalen Hurts running. We just gave you one of the largest contracts in NFL history. Just pull back your running. Are we still going to be able to win games? Well, let's try. Let's get through the first 4, 5, 6 games. Let's see if you're not running at all, where we're going to go. And if we need to get you out there in space to run or whatever, then we can, and we do. So to end this podcast, you see, Trone, this all started with you, okay? All those guys, some of them we had some definitiveness on, but a lot of them we were either back and forth or we don't want to take them at all. Okay. So with the other side of that coin is guys we do like, guys we do want to take, guys that I think you can be secure in drafting. I'll just name them down. Now, the first one that I'm not as secure with is Miles Sanders. Okay. Miles Sanders, definitely not as secure with. I didn't talk about Chuba Hubbard because I don't think Chuba Hubbard's even in the scope of handcuff because I'm not assuming Miles Sanders gets hurt. Okay. I don't like Chuba Hubbard. I don't think he has any singular value. And even as a handcuff, it's like, I don't want to do that. I would rather go in on some of the handcuffs we already spoke about, but Miles Sanders, Rashad White, Ramondre, I think we want Ramondre, then Rashad, then Miles, but it seems like the ADP goes Ramondre, Miles, Rashad. Trone, of those three guys, who do you want on your team?
Ramondre.
Okay. Brandon, Ramondre, Rashad White, or Miles Sanders?
Ramondre every single time. three down back. Yeah.
Real quick, Sanders is like on a do not draft list for me.
Yes. Thank you.
I saw J.J. Zacharyson put this out the other day. Since 2011, there's been zero running backs who play with a rookie quarterback that have had like what he classifies as a true breakout, which means they score six or more points per game over their ADP expectation. Right. And like just for reference, like Tony Pollard, Josh Jacobs, like those are the examples of true breakouts from last year. There's been zeros in the last 12 years. So why are we betting on Miles Sanders? Why are we betting on Damian Pierce? You know, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Oh, how dare you? We haven't even gotten to Damian Pierce yet. God. Okay, so Miles Sanders off your draft list. You just said Damian Pierce. So Damian Pierce off the draft list.
Yeah, it makes it tough. I think he goes later, though. So, like, I mean, he can still, like, you know, I think Damian Pierce, I don't think he has top five upside in any case.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't.
I would take. He doesn't. Miles Sanders and Damian Pierce over Cam Akers.
Okay.
Damian Pierce, yes.
I'm with you. I think Damian Pierce and Miles, the only things you haven't seen, Miles. So it's like, it's tough to really buy in on it, but what have you seen?
Because he's already hurt again.
I understand. I understand. I'm talking about when Miles Sanders is in, he's going to get the lion's share of the carries. We love running backs with Bryce. Okay. We love it. And it's going to be no different. They got Miles Sanders. They're going to give him the run. And I think Bryce is going to be legit okay this year. And Adam Thielen's going to help him out. I think they're going to get goal line opportunities. All those opportunities are going to Miles Sanders and not going to Chuba Hubbard. But
the contract would speak to that.
That's what I'm trying to say. And I just trust that with the upside over Cam Akers. I don't know Cam Akers' upside, really. I can't buy into it. I've seen what he can do, but has...
snap share.
Yeah, well, but I think Miles can get that too, barring injury. So I'm just, you know, either way. Josh Jacobs, Eckler, Saquon, Chubb, we love all those guys. I won't talk about them. CMC, this is something that's a little bit weary. I'm not drafting CMC at four. I'm not drafting CMC at five, six, or seven. I'm drafting CMC behind Bijan. They came out today saying they're definitely going to pull back work from CMC. How do you feel about that, Trone?
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you on CMC. I think like the earliest I would ever take him is after Jefferson, Chase, probably Tyreek Hill, Kelsey. I guess, you know, it's probably others too. I think he's still probably my RB1 overall. Like if I'm putting rankings together, but yeah, that snap share, that workload he had in Carolina is never coming back. You know, he's just getting older. I think he's got probably still the safest floor in the NFL across any running back, but I don't see the ceiling for him like he used to have, like people drafting him think that they're getting.
Yeah.
I disagree on the safest floor. I think that's Eckler as the safest floor because you have nothing behind him.
Yeah.
Well, and I think we always said like Eckler was diet CMC and now they're basically the same guy.
Now they're the same guy.
Yeah. Okay, good. I'm taking that. So Saquon and Pollard in the same tier. And yeah. I like Pollard more than Saquon. Just because I think that the Cowboys are going to be in a little bit different situation than the Giants will be. Although I do believe that the Giants and Saquon will catch more passes. Brandon, Pollard or Saquon on the clock. You know, I don't care. Yeah. Drafted Amon-Ra, number one, Saquon or Pollard.
It's been Pollard all offseason. It won't change until we're done. Yeah, this guy was the most efficient running back in the league. In the three games that he had no Zeke, he averaged over 19.5 points in those games. If you finish on those kind of averages, you're a top three back. Give me Pollard in that offense. And I don't care if Deuce Vaughn's there. I don't care if they sign Kareem Hunt. I don't care. I think Pollard is a locked in top three running back in 2023 right now.
Would you go Chubb over any of those guys, Trone? Pollard or Saquon?
I think if I did 30 drafts, I would want 10 Pollard, 10 Chubb, 10 Saquon.
God, that's
such are such a wimp. That's
a but no, if you put me on the clock, I will take Barkley.
Okay. Okay. There you go.
Hey, I would rather you say that. There you go. Barkley. Perfect.
No, I would rather take Barkley because if we're all being honest, we just hope Tony Pollard becomes Saquon Barkley this year. So let's get a guy that we already know can do it in an offense that has been worse than we all expect it to be this. I mean, we don't expect the Giants offense to be amazing this year. We expect it to be better. We expect it to take another step forward. I do. So I think Barkley has, you know, I mean, I think he kind of gives me the same type of vibe you got last year where everyone's just sleeping on him. We're tired of talking about Saquon in the first round. You know, I think like he's got like an RB5 floor, RB6 floor.
I think
him and Pollard are similar bets. But if I'm in the first round, yeah, I'm going to take Barkley. I mean, probably just for the sole reason that there's a chance I get Pollard coming back if I'm going to RB to start.
Okay, that's a sneaky way out of that question. But.
Yeah, I'm taking Pollard.
Well, I gave you my conviction. Give me Barkley.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. You did it. You're good. As long as you didn't say Chubb there, I'm happy with you.
Okay, so
I do think though this is the best odds Nick Chubb has ever had at an RB1.
For sure. Like if he doesn't smash this year,
it's never happening.
It's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, this is the last year to ascend into just absolute euphoria. All right, last three guys, and we're basically done with all the RBs. I just had to get to it. Sorry it's long. Appreciate you guys following and sticking with us to the end. Josh Jacobs, he probably deserves to be right up there now. He got paid. We know what he did last year. I think Josh Jacobs should nestle right behind these guys in the second round. Trone, are you going to go Devonta Smith, Higgins, or Josh Jacobs?
I'm taking Jacobs in the third. I'm not taking him in the second round.
At all?
No, I mean, no, probably not. I mean, if I have to choose between Devonta Smith, Chris Olave, Devontae Adams, Jalen Waddle, or Josh Jacobs, give me the wide receivers.
Yeah, but those guys you just talked about, those guys are already going in the second round. I'm saying late second round. All those guys are going. The guys are on the board are Devonta Smith, T. Higgins. I'm also talking about in sharp drafts too. Devonta Smith, T. Higgins, or Josh Jacobs. Now, Trone, this is
Calvin
what I'm
Ridley
talking
in that mix too.
Yes, actually. Ridley. Okay, you take Calvin Ridley over Josh Jacobs. I would disagree with that. Okay, but here's why I disagree with that is because you're gonna get yourself into this issue. You're going to pass on Josh Jacobs. You're going to come back around and, oh, shit, I'm stuck. And now I got to draft Cam Akers. That was basically – so, okay.
The whole point of this whole podcast was to get you to agree with me, and you're still not doing it.
I'll never do it.
Trump still can't see the light. Okay, next guy. Hold on, next guy.
No, I will say this. Like, if you start, like – Kelsey in a wide receiver or like in a 6-point touch, like passing league. Like if you start like Kelsey Mahomes, like Jacobs is great in the third round. Like, yeah, I'll take him in the third round all day if he's there.
Yeah. Because you went crazy in the first two and didn't even get you a receiver. And now you're kind of behind the eight ball at two ends and it's easier to find receiver late. So I can understand that. Yeah. Pierce, you didn't like him, but Brandon, go ahead. Pierce, I got one last guy after Pierce, but Brandon loves Pierce. Brandon's a Pierce truther.
I like him.
I was out on Pierce.
I picked him out of Florida. I liked him.
Yep. So you're in on Pierce at ADP. I would say I am too.
Yeah. I have a fair amount of Damian Pierce at ADP. Yep.
The bold take on Pierce, Brandon, go ahead. That's what Trone wants.
The bold take is that the Houston Texans were hot garbage last year. They can only get better. That positive regret, you know, positive regression to the mean is going to happen, which gives better game scripts to Damian Pierce to stay on the field, which he won't be getting pulled off the field for third down catching the ball. But supposedly, hearing from the head coaches, they're trying to give him the ball a little bit more through the air this year. So I just think if there is a uptick in production overall across the whole offense, that's just going to get him in better game scripts. And when he wasn't worn the hell down by just getting stack box after stack box last year, this year, hopefully, maybe there's some, you know, some ability out on the outside with John Metche, with Nico Collins. Maybe there's a little bit more room to operate. Maybe a little bit better of a season. RB2 season four.
So I was right there with you on Pierce until I started to dig into it. I mean, does it scare you at all that his pass protection grade last year per PFF was 32?
That's not good.
Yeah, no, it's one of the worst in the league. In Florida. And there's a rookie quarterback, and Devin Singletary grades out really well as a pass protector.
That scares the shit out of me, Tom. That scares the shit out of me. Yes, I am. I am nervous because that was his thing. That was his major flaw in Florida, was that he couldn't pass block worth a damn. And if he's not, coaches are patient with you. If you're a hardworking running back, you run with your hair on fire, you're aggressive, you're physical, but you need to work on that pass, bro. They'll give you a little bit of time. But if you are still screwing that up in year two, by week four, you're going to have a problem. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, you know, he doesn't have the best prospect profile when you look at his athleticism. No. But guess who also doesn't? Devin Singletary. So true. I don't look at that situation like I'm very scared of Singletary. I look at that situation like they're just going to run. Fuck, you know. They're just going to run it to Pierce. I mean, there's no need to do anything else other than Pierce just needing to really get a breather. They drafted Pierce. They are buying into Pierce. Pierce is 100% a part of what they want to do moving forward. Their team is bought in. Now, the offensive line sucks. Are we going to try to do a little bit of different? They don't suck pre-injuries. They have, like, tons of injuries on the offensive line now. And so I just think CJ is going to have a tough go at it first year. But Pierce is going to be an outlet for him. Tank Dell's going to be an outlet for him. I think Mechie and Nico Collins on the outside are going to have a lot tougher go at it because I don't think he's going to get that much time to pass in the pocket. Dump offs, early down runs, screens. I just like it for Damian Pierce at ADP. Last guy's Pacheco. I'm a big, big Pacheco guy. I draft Pacheco everywhere I can. And it's for one reason and one reason only. Good running back on a good offense, a guy that has shown that he can be a Ferrari. He is a Ferrari when you're looking at his production or his athletic profile. He's fast. He was not drafted very early, and that's okay, but then works his way all the way up to dethrone the first round pick to a favorable offense. It's just going to be there for him. At his ADP, he is the easiest drafted person ever because you're going to get RB2 with spike weeks, RB1s, spike weeks. I'm happy with spike weeks. I'm happy with high over-unders. Actually, him and the Lions and the Chiefs week one, I'm thinking to myself, this could be a 40-40 game here. And if so, how much of that is going to go Pacheco's way with no receivers in the offense? I like Pacheco. Trone, what do you think?
I've been in on Pacheco since like pre-rookie drafts. I think I left my rookie drafts with like 80% Pacheco. That said, like I agree with you, Matt. Like, but that said, he's a very one-dimensional runner, like player, yes. Right? But that's a great fit for what Kansas City needs him to be. Mm-hmm. The narrow role really like it worries me from a ceiling case. That said, he's on the one offense that can overcome that, which the way to overcome that is you run hot on touchdowns, right? He can definitely, I mean, could if you told me Pacheco would end this year with 15 rushing touchdowns, I wouldn't bat an eye at it. There's if you look at like some efficiency stuff, like gets kind of concerning that like CEH wasn't that much worse than him last year from an efficiency standpoint, which surprised me when I looked into it. I don't think this is going to be like an even split with CEH and Pacheco. I think when Pacheco needs a Gatorade, CEH is going to play. And that's going to be about it. But I think if Pacheco isn't getting the receiving work that we know McKinnon's going to get, and he needs to get there running pretty hot on touchdowns, really hot on pretty much all like all rushing efficiency to like basically outperform where he's at ADP. Like I think anything CEH gets makes that path narrower and narrower and narrower. The question is how much is he going to get? Like I didn't think he was going to get much, but preseason usage might speak. I mean, granted Pacheco has been hurt, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like I want to be in on Pacheco. I've never not been in on Pacheco. I haven't sold off like most of my shares still in Dynasty. So I guess
you need to. Because that's about seventh round guys. I mean, whether you're in or out on them, you got to get the value where you can. You could have squeezed the first round pick out of Pacheco.
I was never. I've tried. I've never been able to squeeze a first. If I could have gotten any first, like I would have happily sold him for the 112 on repeat. I've never been able to. I've barely been able to get an early second. So I just said, hey, if I can't get an early second, I'm holding. But once I can, and that's kind of what I figured. Like, it's not going to happen last year. Like, if it happens this year, like the second I can do it, doesn't matter the team structure, I'm out.
Well, an early round, second rounder, I mean, would you be happy trading him straight up for Kendre Miller?
Can I swap that with Nick Charbonnet?
Zach Charbonnet? Sure.
Zach Charbonnet. It's 10:30 over here.
And right, that'll be how we end the podcast. Nick Charbonnet, look out for him, guys.
I was just going to annihilate your boy, but that's fine.
Go ahead, Brandon, annihilate him. This is his inauguration, so we have to haze this guy.
Okay, man. So Isaiah Pacheco is one of the biggest traps in Dynasty right now. This guy is all about and how,
I don't disagree,
how he makes announcers feel when he's an energy play guy. He is this is his opportunity share, okay? He's 43rd in the NFL to RB's opportunity share, 41.9%. Weighted opportunity, 41st, 124 ranks, 124 overall. Team run plays per game, 24th in the NFL with 24.5 per game. Carries, he only had 170 carries at 33rd for the position. He's just not going to get there unless he gets some help in the pass catching ability. Jerick McKinnon being super old is a plus for him. Sure. So if there is some way that Jerick McKinnon is removed from the situation, there is a pathway for Pacheco to smash. But if that doesn't happen, I don't want anything to do with Isaiah Pacheco. He's an even more inefficient Ken Walker, highly athletic guy, but at least Ken Walker is way more explosive and finishes runs and actually, you know, gets into the end zone. You would think Isaiah Pacheco is being runs a 4.3, that his breakaway runs would be really top notch. He ranks 24th in the NFL that with only 8 last year. So I'm just not seeing it. And the things that I saw with him in Rutgers, his vision's not there. He's super athletic, but his vision is just not there. His feet are well ahead of his eyes, and that's the problem.
So I think we got off on the wrong foot with Pacheco. If you think I trust him in Dynasty,
Trone's trying to pull it back.
No, I'm not pulling it back. I think there's a path where, you know, with what started with an acquisition cost of Fab in some leagues. Yes. I mean, I got him at the 512
exactly.
For like $12 with Fab. Yeah. Well, for redraft. Yeah. Like I think it's, you know, it's a pretty narrow path, but his price is baked into that. Yeah. If you're relying on Pacheco to be your RB1, you're in for a long season.
Yes,
if
sir.
You think he's somebody you can plug in and hope he falls in the end zone twice. Like, yeah, that's Isaiah Pacheco.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's the perfect zero RB guy.
Sure. Yeah.
Trone, I mean,
I'm into it in zero RB. I'm not like, no, I'm not putting him in my RB1 chair and happy about it.
And when you cut this up for making reels, I'll smash your boy with Khabib said about McGregor before I just totally smashed your boy Isaiah Pacheco.
No, I do agree with you. I think it's a very, fragile bet on Pacheco. Yeah.
All right, Trone, thank you for coming by. We put
guys,
you through the ringer. This was a long one. I mean, that's what we do, you know, especially for me. I appreciate open forum, long conversation. I like long format. We need a little bit more long format in our lives here. Trone, again, where are you from? Where can everybody find you?
Yeah, I mean, you can find me all over the Jock Market social media at Jock Market, JOCKMKT. You know, we're there on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Everywhere, you know, YouTube, everywhere.
And you can find Brandon and me and some craziness at the Flex Network One on Twitter. I try to pull the reins back on Twitter so that it doesn't get too crazy on there. It used to get real crazy on there, but I started to pull it back. Brandon got kicked off Twitter. Brandon got kicked off Twitter. So, but you can find us at the DFS Army Fantasy Football Show. Again, this is our last day that you can get into the early bird special, which gives you 25% off your VIP membership. Promo code NFL2023. Trone, we hope to have you back, brother. Lots of times.
Thanks,
we
guys.
Want you to be a regular. You're great. You have a voice. You have a you could read. You know, our ladies.
I can read and write.
You know what I mean? You can do it all. All right, for all of us here at DFS Army, let's go out there. Let's win week one. Let's get it. Big time. Knowing that. Diamonds in my teeth. I got